For the latest news, standings, and schedules for your favorite high school teams, visit ncksports.com. Your home on the web for high school sports involving the North Central Activities Association, Northern Plains League, plus Smith Center and Concordia. Visit ncksports.com. A big thanks to our sponsors, Cunningham Telephone and Cable, Brushart Corporation of Downs, S&S Drug and Home Health, Mankato Professional Pharmacy, the Guaranty State Bank and Trust Company, and by Landmark Implement. Go online now and check out ncksports.com.
Jackson by himself, shotgun snap, drops back five, cocks his arm, pass in the end zone, caught over the shoulder, in the middle, touchdown Baltimore! For a second time, Marquise Brown hauls it in! A second touchdown pass by quarterback Lamar Jackson. Ravens 13-0 over the Rams.
Well, why don't we just hand the trophy to the Ravens, right? Everybody else is playing for Super Bowl runner-up, according to people that I see on social media. No, not in regards to this, but to something else. So, yes, the Ravens win last night, Monday Night Football, 45-6. Rams are a Super Bowl participant last year. They have all kinds of issues, and they've sold their soul to the devil, trading all kinds of, you know, making big acquisitions and getting Jalen Ramsey. Didn't really help them last night. Lamar Jackson, five touchdown passes, and nobody's figured out Baltimore's offense against Lamar Jackson since they started figuring things out. You know, the Chiefs are only one of two teams to beat the Ravens. The Browns are the other one, but that was earlier in the year. And I don't really like the Chiefs' chances if they played them right now, or anybody's chances for that matter, of taking on the Ravens. They look almost unbeatable. Now, they're going to have a game where they're not going to play well, and I think they'll probably lose one game here yet down the stretch. But are they going to lose two? Because that's what it's going to take for the Chiefs to catch them in the standings. I don't see it happening.
No.
Don't see it happening. I think the Chiefs, the best they can do is the three seed, the way it goes, but we shall see. The Chiefs, by the way, have been in first place in the AFC West for 47 consecutive weeks, and it'll be 48 no matter what happens, because they'll either be tied with the Raiders if they lose the Raiders on Sunday, or if they win, they'll still be in first place. If they beat the Raiders, it'll make sure that the streak reaches 50 weeks, which would be the third longest streak since the merger in 1970, any team staying atop a division for that long. And you think about it, how do you stay atop the division that long? Well, you can't lose your season opener. The Chiefs have won their season opener. They get up to good starts. They're 4-0 this year. Andy Reid's been 9-0 his first year as Chiefs head coach. So the Chiefs have had a lot of success against the AFC West, as we know. Andy Reid's been great against the AFC West. And in order to make the playoffs and have a chance, you got to win your division first. You win your division first, you're guaranteed a first-round game at home, regardless of your record. You win your division first, and then you let the chips fall where they may. And the Chiefs right now would be the three seed in the AFC playoffs right now, behind New England, who's the one, and Baltimore, the two. And do you think Baltimore's really freaking out about whether they have to go to New England or not?
And Baltimore doesn't care where they play, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
They go to L.A. last night and won 45-6. Not a hostile environment by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think they're scared of going to Arrowhead either.
They care where they go.
They've lost the last 2 years at Arrowhead, but last year they should have won. Took him a Mahomes unbelievable play on a fourth down.
Yeah.
And then this year, the Chiefs did beat him and actually outplayed him in that game. That was probably maybe the best game the Chiefs played all year long. So, and the Ravens, I think, have improved more than the Chiefs have since then. So, I don't think the Ravens, their type of game travels. It travels. They play defense. They can run the ball. They can play that anywhere. They can play that in Siberia. They can play that on the Florida coast. They can play that type of ball anywhere, no matter the conditions. And that's what makes them dangerous. And there's no question they are the most complete team in football, I think. And I think the Niners and the Seahawks are right behind them. Those are the three best teams in football. And I don't even think it's that close. I really don't. I think the Saints are a step below right now. I think the Patriots are a solid step below the Ravens, even though the Patriots have the better seed. The reason they have the better seed is because they've had the easy schedule. And the Ravens have whipped them head-to-head. Now, Patriots at the end of the year might end up being the two seed, and the Ravens might be the one seed. And if the Ravens get a one seed on top of the way they're playing, whew. Now, Lamar Jackson, if he gets hurt, everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen a whole bunch of people saying, well, it's going to be fun to watch Mahomes and Jackson battle it out the next 10 or 15 years. I'm going to just go out on a limb that I feel is pretty sturdy. Lamar Jackson will not be in this league for 15 years. Because if he carries the ball as much as he does now, his body will not be able to take it. All you got to do is look at a few quarterbacks that have done what Lamar Jackson is doing. And what I mean by that is Lamar's doing some unique things. I get that. He's going to run for 1,000 yards. You don't see that very often. Michael Vick was able to do that. Michael Vick, how long was his career? Well, he had some things that happened off the field too. But he was already injured and getting beat up. Okay? He ran the ball a lot. And Cam Newton's career might be about over because his body is broken down. And he was the subject of our good news of the day, helping underprivileged kids, serving Thanksgiving meals down in Charlotte. Cam Newton took a beating in the NFL. A beating. And he is bigger and stronger than Lamar Jackson. And the injuries caught up to him. He had, what, a five-year window?
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP 1 year?
It's really what it came down to.
He wasn't Super Bowl MVP. He was the league MVP. Made it to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Lost to the Broncos. Lamar Jackson could very well be the MVP this year. And he might win the Super Bowl, be Super Bowl MVP. I just don't see Lamar Jackson 5 years from now doing what he's doing now. Whereas I do see Patrick Mahomes being able to do what he's doing now for 5 years from now. Because Mahomes doesn't take as many shots. Mahomes doesn't carry the ball nearly as much. And he's a little bit smarter in protecting himself as a long-term investment, as we've seen with him sliding this and that. Jackson doesn't do that. And his teammates love him. The Ravens love that Jackson is, you know, just goes crazy and he runs hard and not afraid to, you know, take on some contact. That's going to catch up. And so when I see these people on social media say, well, this can be fun watching Lamar versus Patrick for 15 years, it ain't going to happen.
No, I mean,
you can't even say one of them is going to be around 15 years from now. But if I had to bet on one of the two, I'd bet Mahomes. Although Mahomes has had some injury issues in college. He has had an injury this year, out for a couple games. But the way the game is played and the way these teams run their offenses, there's no question Lamar Jackson is more in harm's way than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, and honestly, the way the game's played these days, the days of like the Brady Manning thing going on for so long are pretty well done.
Yeah.
Because unless you're going to find two pocket passers like that are just going to go at each other
right.
for that many years. And Lamar Jackson is not that. You know, Cam Newton's not. There's not a lot of court. Russell Wilson's not even that.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm wondering how long Russell Wilson, I think it might be the exception to some of the rules.
But you
he
know
doesn't
what?
Run like if, Lamar Jackson
if,
does.
If you watch Russell Wilson run, he doesn't take a lot of shots.
No, he doesn't.
He's very smart. He'll get down. He'll get out of bounds. He doesn't really take on a guy unless it's a really big, huge play.
Yeah.
He's more selective.
Yeah.
Whereas Lamar Jackson, you know, here's another example of a guy that was running and looking great and his career ended very quickly, although he's still in the league technically. That's RG3.
Oh, yeah.
RG3 took the league by storm. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He took the league by storm, and first his rookie year was really, really good. But he wasn't durable, and they ran him, and then they kept playing him in that playoff game when he was hurt, which was a major mistake by Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
And I think that really cost him the rest of his career. Yeah, he's on a roster, but he's not a guy that's probably going to ever be a big-time player in this league. And there was questions about his durability when he came in the league anyway. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's a game. I mean, Cam Newton is a great example, and no question RG3. Quarterbacks, you heard this back in the day, you can't be under 6 feet to play quarterback in the league. Well, that's a baloney now. Because we've seen guys like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield. These guys can have success. Kyler Murray is having some success. I think Kyler Murray is going to turn out to be a really good NFL quarterback. He's 5'8". So that myth has been blown away. Then there was the myth, and I never understood it. Years ago I heard somebody say, why don't they run option in the National Football League? Well, the NFL is too fast. You can't run option in the league. Yeah, you can. When you've got a great quarterback, Lamar Jackson, you can run option. Now, you can't run it with Sam Darnold. But you can run it with Lamar Jackson. RG3 ran it some when he was having his rookie year and great year. Can you run option all the time? No. Can you run the option here and there? Yes. And so what we're seeing is so many college football principles that are in the NFL game now. And now it was like, well, you can't have a quarterback run for 1,000 yards. Guy won't make it through the season. Well, no. Michael Vick did it. It's going to happen with Lamar Jackson if he stays healthy. The question is, though, the long-term toll on your body at quarterback. When you're going to take hits when you're dropping back to throw, you take hits when you scramble, you take hits when your design runs, that's the question. How long can Lamar Jackson go? And to me, I'm going to have to pull up Cam Newton's career, but I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to make it much longer than Cam Newton. And that would still be a really good career. And Lamar Jackson has exceeded expectations. I always thought he could make it in this league as a quarterback. I did. I thought he had unique skills. I never thought he'd do anything quite like this. But I didn't understand everybody just said, well, there's no way he can play in this league. I'm like, the league has changed. Look around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson was a guy nobody thought could be in this league, and he was a third-round pick. He's turned out to be an MVP candidate and a terrific quarterback. So the game has changed, and that's why Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick last year. 5-10 years ago, Kyler Murray wouldn't have been a first-round pick because of his height alone. The game has changed.
Yeah.
The game has changed. But the question is, how far can Lamar Jackson go without getting beat up? And I'm going to pull up his stats here to see how many times he's carried the ball. Let's see if I can pull it up. Lamar Jackson running the football. He has carried it Well, come on. Give me the totals here. That's weird. Bro, he's had games where he's carried it 16 times, 14 times, 19 times, 14 times, 16 times, 10 times. Last night, 8 times for 95 yards, average 12 yards a carry. Well, that's an average, it looks like, of about 12 carries a game. That's a lot of carries for a quarterback, not even counting the times he gets hits when he back the throw.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you got to factor in. People go, well, that's only 12 carries. That's no big deal. Well, yeah, but a running back carries it 20 times. Well, the running back, he can make it. He's 20. First of all, he's built to run the ball 20, 25 times a game, a running back is. But he also doesn't take all the shots a quarterback takes. I mean, granted, you got to pass protection, blitz pickup. I get all that. But and you can catch the ball at backfield and take some shots too. But quarterbacks are your franchise. I mean, they really are. And Lamar Jackson is a franchise quarterback. But the over and the over-under on how many years he's going to be in this league playing at a high level, I think, is 5.
Yeah.
And this is year 2. And then you also got to ask John Harbaugh, why did you start Joe Flacco 9 games last year?
You know, what's crazy is because I scrolled down here on his stats, it's 124 total carries that he's got this year, but he ran the ball 147 times last year in 7 games that he started.
See, that he just can't keep doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane when you think about it. He only started 7 games last year and ran it 147 times.
Right.
He's running 124 in 11 games. Actually, his rate is actually lower this year than it was last year.
Right.
For carries per game.
Cam Newton came in the league in 2011. 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, not great. And I'm looking at his – I don't like Pro Reference. Doesn't give me what I want here. But the – trying to see his rushing attempts and so forth, and it's not showing.
Keep scrolling down past passing. It should be down there underneath that. Yeah.
Advanced rushing, playoff rushing, scoring rushing. I don't want that either. I'm not getting what I want. Rushing, receiving, rushing. Okay. Cam Newton in his career has carried the ball 934 times. 934 times. How many times did you say that Lamar Jackson carried the ball now this year? 124?
124 this year, yeah.
Do you know Cam Newton carried the ball, the most he ever carried the ball in a season was 139. He had 126, 127, 111, 103, 132. They missed a couple games, 90, 139, 101. And he's been in this league, if you count his rookie year, 11, 12, 13, 14, 5, 15, 16. 15, he was the MVP, if I remember correctly. Looks like that's what they're saying. 15 or 13, I can't see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's had 7 good years. 7 solid years. Okay, so maybe I should say 7 is the over-under. Because Cam Newton looks like he's finished at the age of 30. And he came in the league at 22. And he didn't really have a good year last year either. So basically, I would say 6 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that's carrying the ball as much as Lamar Jackson is. Actually, Lamar's carrying the ball a little bit more than Cam Newton.
I mean, he's both of his
And Cam Newton is more broad and better built than Lamar Jackson to take that punishment.
So it's pretty safe to say that biggest was 139. It's pretty safe to say Lamar will probably carry the ball at least 15 more times.
Well, you said 147 last year.
So he's already got, that's what I'm saying, is like he'll have already 2 seasons with more than whatever Cam's max was ever.
By the way, it wasn't 147 just those 7 starts for him last year because he was carrying the ball during the 9 starts at Flacco. He came in those certain packages. But that's a lot of carries for a quarterback. And a guy that isn't built as broadly as Cam Newton. I'm going to stick with my 5-year over-under with Lamar Jackson.
It's a safe bet. I mean, I just don't – you can't have – I mean, he's going to have over 150 carries at this rate this year without question.
Easily.
And you just can't do that and survive.
He might get up
because of the hits, because of the hits you take when you actually go into the pocket.
Right. Even if you don't get sacked, you're getting hit. Yeah. Interesting. That's something the Ravens are going to have to pay attention to. It's all in the win it now.
It's fun games right now, but it's like, you know, that's not.
It takes one big shot.
If you want to invest in the future, that's not the best way to go about it. But I mean,
not long term, probably.
You know, maybe if Lamar Jackson says, hey, I don't care what it takes, I don't care about the future, let's win now.
But listen, if the Ravens get.
Most people should be like that,
I
guess.
If the Ravens win a couple Super Bowls over the next 3, 4, 5 years, it's completely worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to start from scratch and another quarterback because Lamar Jackson's all banged up. Okay, anything local you have?
Not a whole lot. Just, again, coming up Saturday, we have the Osborne Bulldogs in the state championship against Axtell. So stay tuned for that Saturday. We'll have pregame coverage at 2:30 and kickoff at 3 from Fisher Field in Newton. So we're looking forward to that one coming up on Saturday. And then Smith Center Saturday in the state title game against Centralia, 1 o'clock in Hayes. So all the latest in local sports is always at ncksports.com.
Inaruna with the basketball, plays it left side to Garrett. Garrett dribbling between his legs, crosses over, slashes, misses, but a big time follow flush by McCormick. My goodness, he threw that down with authority.
KU rolls over Chaminade last night, 93-63. The big shocker, though, is Michigan State losing Virginia Tech, 71-66. KU gets BYU next. They beat UCLA last night. You can hear that tonight on Z96.3 Lake with pregame at 9 o'clock and tip-off. It's a late in the start there out in Maui. 9:30 our time will be tip-off against BYU. Bill Self on the win last night.
Inaruna with a basketball.
Sorry. Well, Don didn't reset for some reason.
I thought we did some good things. It was good to see Doak play well the second half and get a little confidence. And David came back and had a made two or three really strong moves in the second half, which was great to see. You know, Dot missed three wide open lobs today. You know, those are plays we just take for granted in the past. And he missed three guys that were wide open, and two of them ended up being turnovers, and one of them he didn't throw. So we got to get better at those things. If we're going to play to that, then we got to be able to execute and throw it.
True. But you can make those mistakes against Chaminade. You can fix that now going in the rest of this tournament. KU's clearly the favorite to win it now, with Michigan State being out. And I'm bummed out. I'm disappointed that Michigan State lost. I wanted KU to play Michigan State. I wanted 4-3 in the Maui Tournament Championship. Now, it's like if Kansas doesn't win the tournament, it's a big disappointment because they're the favorite.
Sure,
whereas if they lost Michigan State, you'd be like, well, you know, that's good for us come tournament time. So I think it's a bad thing that KU had that situation happen and Michigan State lost last night. That's just my opinion.
So I said on Twitter, I said, should KU lose to Chaminade so they still play Michigan State in this tournament?
I wouldn't go that far. You know, KU is going to be loaded. We know they're loaded. They're going to be one of the top teams in the country all year long. And I saw Baylor the other day beat Villanova down at, what was it, the Myrtle Beach Classic. And Baylor's legit. Baylor's legit. I mean, I usually don't say that about Scott Drew team, but they are legit. And the Clark kid, he gets healthier. They're going to be even tougher. I still think Texas Tech is going to be a tough out this year, especially later in the year, because they get those transfers acclimated to what they want to do. Chris Beard's a great coach. I think it's a three-team race for the Big 12 title. I really do. I don't think Kansas is a clear-cut favorite to win the Big 12. I think Baylor and Texas Tech and Kansas are the three best teams. And then after that, I think there's a bit of a drop-off. Then that leads us to Kansas State. And you know, we know all year long. Everybody knows it coming into the season. You lose, you know, what was it, 78% of their offense or something like that? I mean, you lose three great seniors in Stokes and Brown and Wade and what they did in their 4 years at K-State. You just don't replace those and just pick up where you left off.
No.
It just doesn't happen. And I already see some K-State fans impatient. And you know what? You're a real fan because you're fanatical and you jump off the wagon as quickly as it gets down the road. But you got to understand the situation. Coach Bedwar's got some young guys in different spots. And if one of the top players, like a Jada or a Maywean or a Sneed, they don't play well. And last night, Maywean didn't play well, and Sneed certainly didn't play well.
No.
You ain't going to win, especially early in the year. And Pitt, crazy. The Pitt Panthers beat K-State last night, 63-59. This is an amazing statistic. I have to admit, I think Jeff Capel, the head coach of Pittsburgh, has got to be pinching himself this morning. If you would have told him, Pittsburgh's head coach, before the game, you're going to go 1 out of 16 from 3, you're going to commit 21 turnovers and have 2 assists.
2.
And you're going to win the game, he would have said, you are insane. There's no way that'll happen. I'll be willing to bet you. Unless you, K-State had tons of turnovers, something like that. They did hit 47% of their shots. They were 18 of 21 from the line. They out-rebounded K-State by 10. That's why they were still in the game. It's kind of like football. You can have all the stats in your favor, but if you win the turnover margin and get a defense or special teams touchdown, that's a great equalizer. Well, the great equalizer last night for Pittsburgh was rebounding and free throw shooting.
Yeah.
Because K-State was 3 of 13 from the line. And that's just horrible. Levi Stockard did not have a good game. Cartier Jada had 13. And K-State jumped out for once. They got off to a good start. But they lose. It was tied there late. And then Pittsburgh made the plays, and K-State didn't. And Jada got called for a charge. Some people didn't like the call. I would argue you could have called a timeout. You had one. But Coach Weber chose not to, which, you know, if Jada goes down and it's a blocking foul and he gets free throws, nobody's talking about it. So you're darned if you do, darned if you don't as a coach. If you set up a play and it's a horrible play and you turn it over, and then people may say, well, why did you let the defense set up? You shouldn't have called a timeout. I get it. You can argue each way. I trust the coach that's getting paid millions of dollars to know what he's doing on that one. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But Bruce Weber talks about the loss for his team against Pittsburgh, who didn't play that particularly well and still won.
do you care enough to make some plays and go grab the game? And we did. We just didn't finish it. Obviously, 3 for 13 from the free throws is a killer. And their kid made a tough hanging jumper. You know, you got to give them credit. Overall, I thought our defense was okay. I thought the key to the game, we're up 10 in the first half, and we gamble a couple times and give them 5-6 straight points, and that put them back in the game. You got to make them earn things. You got to be disciplined and poised, and we're still just new and young and got to figure it out.
K-State was 10 of 20 from 3. Pittsburgh was 1 of 16. K-State has to win, right?
Absolutely none of the numbers
make sense.
Other than a 3 for 13 from the free throw line.
But Pittsburgh shot 47% from the floor, got rebound K-State by 10, and K-State was 13 of 38 inside the arc.
Yeah.
And 3 of 13 from the foul line. So they hit 10 threes, but then couldn't hit anything else, basically. And that's why they lost. So now K-State's back in action coming up tomorrow in the third-place game against Bradley, who got waxed by Northwestern last night. So tough early season loss for K-State, but I'm telling you, don't give up on K-State. They're going to improve quite a bit by the end of the year.
It worries me absolutely zero.
You should not
right
be
now.
Freaking out.
I'm not. This isn't a team that I'm looking at like it's going to go win a national championship and this is going to crush their seed or something like that.
If you're
that.
A K-State men's basketball, if you're a K-State men's basketball fan, you just have to – it's called patience is a virtue. You're going to have patience. And if you don't, then you better cheer for another team. Because it's going to be an up and down year. They're young in so many spots. They're going to have games where they're going to look great, and you're going to go, wow, this team could do some damage. And they're going to be games where, like, wow, we can't win another one this year. It's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be, a roller coaster of a year for this team. And at the end of the year, they're probably, they might be around 500 in the conference.
Yeah.
Which, if they are, that means they're probably on a bubble. Now, I think that's best case scenario, what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe their ceiling is they're going to get a 7th seed in the tournament and not be on a bubble. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, there was still some things that I saw last night that were encouraging. Yeah. You don't get the win, and it's frustrating, and some of the things you see down the stretch that you don't like, that, obviously missing 5 front ends of 1-1s needs to be fixed.
Well, that's not good.
But, there was still, Dejuan Gordon had a good game. Antonio Gordon started pretty well as he was actually starting the game in the starting lineup. And there's some things I liked last night. But, Xavier Sneed needs to step up. And we've talked about that his whole career, but this year especially, if Xavier Sneed's not performing offensively, it's going to be a rough season. There's going to be rough games.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to step up. There's too much one-on-one from Cartier Jarta. Mm-hmm. I need to see a little bit less of that. And then, obviously there's things to work on. No
Absolutely.
Question about it.
Yeah, Xavier Sneed's got to be one of the men.
Yes.
One of the men. In the past, he's
no
been a supporting player.
To that. Yeah.
There's more pressure on him, no question. Wichita State back in action. They're off to a 5-0 start. They take on South Carolina. South Carolina lost to Boston University a few weeks ago. That's at 5 o'clock tonight down in Cancun, a Cancun Challenge. I have a good friend of mine that he and his family are down there, and I saw pictures with them posing with Frank Martin. I'm like, okay, and they're K-State fans, which is okay for that. But then I'm like, okay, are they getting scouting? They were at a Bob Huggins practice, West Virginia. I'm like, are they going to give the information to Bruce Weber and hope K-State? They're K-State fans.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was kind of, I'm sure they're having a great time down there while we brave the winter storm that may be coming in. So good time to be out of the country if you're from here. So that looks like a lot of fun. Wichita State, if they win, they'll be in the title game against either West Virginia or Northern Iowa coming up tomorrow night. Riley Gates of Go Paragat coming up in a moment. By the way, I'm sure Riley will be super thrilled about this. The NFL has come out and admitted that the 2 tripping calls called against the Cowboys should not have been called.
Yeah.
Well, that makes things all right.
Yeah.
Everybody feels better about that, don't you?
It shouldn't have been called. Can you retroactively change that?
That'd be great. Can we replay the game and protest it?